Welcome to the Gathering Place Silverton Teaching Podcast. We are a community committed to helping people learn and live the way of Jesus in Silverton. We believe that our growth happens best within community. If you're not yet a part of a Jesus-centered community, we invite you to join us for one of our Sunday gatherings or go to gatheringplace.faith to find out more about how to get connected. So hey, this morning we're going to continue our series that we've been in, The Art of One Anothering, and just a little quick recap. In the series, we've just been exploring this idea or these one another commands that we see in the New Testament. There's around 50 or so if you add them up. And I started off week one saying that the center of all of these commandments is just this idea of love. We dove into the idea that when the church is at its very best, it draws people to Jesus because of how deeply the love between one another is. How well we love people is going to be the thing that is going to draw people to us and let people know that we are disciples of Jesus. And week two, Ashley taught about love expressed through humility. And then Lainey went on to spend some time talking about this idea that a disciple of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, we offer hospitality to one another, really hospitality to anyone, especially those who are different from us. And last week I talked about this idea that central to our growth is that we live in community in such a way that we are able to speak God's words to one another. And so we talked a little bit about prophecy. So if you're interested in what that is, and go listen to that, I encourage you to go back and listen to any of the series. We've got our message page on our website, gatheringplace.faith, and that can also lead you to our podcast as well, too, and you can catch up and do all those things. So today, I'll be wrapping up our series by talking about the command to honor one another. Honor one another. So let me start by praying, and then we will jump in. So Jesus, Holy Spirit, we just relax into your presence right now, and we just invite you to speak to us. So I just pray, Lord, that we'd have a heart and a mind of receptivity, allowing you to change our minds. God, allowing us to see that your way is good and it's better than what we can do on our own. It's better than what culture says. It's better than what we say. And we just want to hear from you this morning. Would you speak to us in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. So acclaimed American novelist and short story writer David Foster Wallace is known for delivering a 2005 college commencement speech in which he told a story that illustrated human blindness to obvious everyday realities. Story goes like this. Now there are these two young fish swimming along and they happen to meet an older fish swimming the other way who nods at them and says, "Morning boys, how's the water?" And the two young fish swim on for a bit, and then they eventually, one of them turns and looks at the other one and says, "What the heck is water?" I share this because I think that there are some realities about our culture that we miss because we're swimming in it. It's just so pervasive. There's some things that have so permeated our culture that they've even crept into the church to the extent that we have almost accepted that it's normal. We're swimming in a culture that no longer honors other people, or at least has a really difficult time, but regularly dishonors others without even thinking twice about it. Have you seen this, anybody? have you experienced this? We're living in a culture of contempt, and it only seems to be getting worse. I would argue that it's not just a problem that's out there, somewhere else, but I would argue that it is a problem that is alive and well within the church, like the Big C church. And sadly, all too often, it is on display for a watching world to see. And in many ways, Christians, full of contempt for their enemies and those who they disagree with, are carrying themselves in ways that are no different than those who are in the world and who are not disciples of Jesus. But I believe that the invitation of Jesus is to live into a better way, that rather than being known as a people of contempt, we should be known, the church should be known, disciples of Jesus should be known as people of honor. And here's what the Apostle Paul says in the book of the book to the church in Rome. And then we'll use this scripture as a springboard for our teaching today. And I'll read it twice in two different translations. Romans 12:10, Sky Bible behind me here. It says, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Romans, same verse, different translations. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. We're called to honor one another. And for those of you who like competition, you can actually compete in outdoing other people in honor. That is allowed. And I think raises a lot of questions, and the answers of these questions are going to serve kind of as a roadmap for today. So I think I forgot to do a slide for this, but roadmap for today, like questions we're going to try to answer, like how do we define honor? Like, what is it? What does honor mean? Why should we honor other people? Why? Who do we honor? Are there particular people we honor and others we don't worry about honoring? How do we show honor? And what steps can we take today to grow in and to walk in this idea of honoring other people? Okay, so let's just start by defining honor and its counterpart. So what is honor? Well, honor, kind of the standard definition, is just to demonstrate high respect, great esteem, to regard with great respect. Biblical definition, pretty darn close, to actively assign value, esteem, and respect to others above oneself. That's kind of key, above oneself. Demonstrated through actions and words, to see something as valuable or see someone as valuable. Now, to better understand honor, it's really helpful to understand the opposite of honor. And your first thought is dishonor. It's like, well, kind of. That's not really helpful, though. It's just the negative version of it. But it's actually the opposite of honor is contempt. So to define contempt for us, standard definition, the feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration, worthless, or deserving of scorn. You ever felt contempt for somebody before? Simple definition. This is kind of my rewording of it. Contempt is believing someone is worthless or at least worth less than you. And as I opened up with, we live in a culture that is permeated with contempt. Do you feel it? Have you felt it? Experienced it? We have been trained to think through that lens to determine that some people are worth less, beneath us, or deserving of scorn. And then there's this dichotomy of sorts, right? Is this person, you kind of think, is this person worthy of my honor? Or is this person unworthy of my honor? And to take it one step further, is this person deserving of my contempt? So who do we typically show honor to? Almost without thinking. Well, I got a list up here, little bullet points. But people who are talented or gifted, we tend to just honor them by default, right? People who are beautiful, we tend to honor them by default. People who are powerful because of their position typically show honor. Like think of a police officer and they pull you over, you may be doing your thing and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry, officer. Well, typically. People who have money or resources, we typically honor them. People who can do or have something for us. People that we typically honor because they have something to contribute. Something maybe to contribute to us. Now there's a small, like, demographic of people who check all of these boxes. You know what those people are called? Anybody? Can you think of? Celebrities, yeah, right? Celebrities are kind of, you know, people like lose their minds when they see a celebrity for some reason. They're like, oh my gosh, oh, maybe let me take a picture of them behind me. Like, I was having lunch and this guy, celebrity was there, my favorite show. But it's just small, there's a small set. But here's the thing. What about someone who doesn't check all of the boxes? Like, where's the line? Is there a point at which someone, they check some of the boxes? Is there a point in which somebody is now unworthy of honor because they don't check enough of the boxes? Or they now are like, okay, yeah, they check enough of the boxes. This person is worthy of honor. And as we continue on, one of the things that I hope to do is to show that as followers of Jesus, we don't need to be forced into this kind of false dichotomy, this way of this duality of thinking in which we have to choose between honor and contempt. But as followers of Jesus, we actually get to live by a different set of rules. We have a higher calling. And so I'm going to begin just by walking through a few questions that will bring us clarity around this idea of honoring others. The first question is, who do we honor? Like, who do we give honor to? And the answer is, we honor others. Or why do we give honor to others? Excuse me, why do we give honor to others? We honor others because they are made in God's image. That is the quick and easy answer. We honor other people because they were made in God's image. The consistent story throughout scripture is that everyone has value simply because they are created by God and made in his image. Full stop. Genesis 1:26, this is the creation narrative. So then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all of the wild animals, and over all creation, creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his image, in his own image, the image of God. He created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, which is a really close correlation to honor, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Psalm 8:3 says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. So in the Genesis passage, bless them, very similar to the word honor. In the Psalm, it says he crowns them with glory and honor. So God made us in his image. And in both passages, God is saying, people have value. I've demonstrated and told them and showed you first that I value all humans because I have made all of them. In 1989, another story here, 1989, a man in Adamstown, Pennsylvania, who was a collector of antique items, purchased what he said was a dismal, dull painting at a flea market for the amount of $4 because he was really interested in the frame. He loved the frame. Painting, not so much. Upon trying to remove the painting from the frame to use it for another piece of art, he found that there was a document folded behind the painting, behind the canvas. What he discovered was what he thought was a replica of the Declaration of Independence. Happened, he hung on to it for a couple years, almost 2 years, and finally one of his friends said to him, you know, you should probably get this thing appraised because, you know, you never know. What the heck? So he goes to an appraiser, and what he discovered is that he had a rare original 1776 copy of the Declaration of Independence. It was the first of approximately 200 copies that had been printed on the night of July 4th, 1776, meant to be distributed throughout the 13 colonies, so all the places where they said, hey, we're declaring this. Now, this copy was one of only 26 known surviving copies of this original printing. And later that year, later that year, he sold that copy of the Declaration of Independence for $2.42 million. And then again in 2000, it was sold again for 8.14 million buckaroonies. Crazy, right? The painting looked like it was only worth $4, right? And it was mostly because of the frame, right? But it was actually worth a heck of a lot more than that. Here's what I want you to get. There are many people that you may measure on the outside appearance, whether it's through their past actions or their past behaviors or their current behaviors and actions, and decide that they have little value. Maybe we've made the determination that somebody has a value of about $4. But God's view on the matter is that their value is immeasurable. Far greater than $8.14 million, right? Here's the thing. Something's value is determined by what we're willing to pay for it. And what was God willing to pay for us? Hey, buddy. What was God willing to pay for us? Yeah, he was willing to give his son. He was willing to pay the life of his son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? So that we could live. And Jesus himself was not just willing to have his life taken. It wasn't just the Father. It was Jesus who was saying, he wasn't just willing to have it taken, but he was willing to give it. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Something's value is determined by what we're willing to pay for it. And God was willing to pay the tremendous price for each of us and every single human being. For God so loved the what? The world. That means like all of the people. It's not just the planet. It's all of the humans in the world. So as human beings, we have tremendous value to God. There is, C.S. Lewis says, there are no ordinary people. You have never met a mere mortal. Ephesians 2:20 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Listen, a masterpiece is like the pinnacle of an artist's work, right? The masterpiece is like the best of the best. And typically, it's the most valuable piece that an artist paints, right? It's going to go for the most amount of money. Maybe you need to hear this. You are God's best work. All y'all. Reuben, God's best work. Brooklyn, God's best work. Yesenia, God's best work. You too, Eric, all right? You're God's best stuff. Which is true about you, but it's also true about everybody else. We read that, we're like, yeah, God's workmanship here. Man. It's true of all of us. Can you do me a favor really quick? I don't usually do this, but can you look to the person to the left and right and say, you're God's best work? Do that. It's true of us, and it's true of everybody. And if someone was created by God, I think that's all of us. I think that's all of us. They have value to God. He proved it by what he was willing to pay, his own life. So the question then becomes, who do we show honor to? Warning, I'm going to zip through most of these really fast. So, and not going to dig very deep, but there will be a couple times when I'm going to stop, and I'm going to spend a little extra time on those that I felt compelled to. So we'll see how that goes, but who are we called to honor? Well, first, we're obviously called to honor God, right? We're called to honor God, 1 Timothy 1:17. Now the King, eternal, immortal, visible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 5:13 says, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, under the earth and on the sea, and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praised and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And then 1 Corinthians 6:20. You were bought at a price. I already read this. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. We are called to honor God. We're also called to honor our families. Honor family. Ephesians 6:2-3, which is really just a retelling of the commandments, of the Ten Commandments, to honor your parents. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you, and you will have a long life on the earth. 1 Peter 3:7, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wives with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is an equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. We're called to honor our families, whether it's a spouse or a sibling or a parent. Okay, now it's time to step on the hornet's nest. Are you ready? We're called to honor our civic leaders. Oh, snap. That would be like political leaders. We're called to honor our civic leaders. In Rome, I'm about ready to read a little thing from Romans 13, but Romans 13, this, you know, the first six verses are talking about how we live as citizens and as followers of Jesus in a place in which we are foreigners. Like our home is, I don't know if you know, but like our home is not here. Our home is heaven, right? We are citizens of God's kingdom. And so we should be living as those who are exiles, right? Verse 7 goes on to say this. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And 1 Peter 2:17 says, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Some versions say honor the king. When Peter wrote this, maybe you're aware, but he was serving a leader, honoring a leader that was pretty hostile. I think a bit more hostile than our leaders. We think, we have the worst. This is the worst it's ever been. You know, and it's like, well, not quite as bad. We're not rallying people up and crucifying them. That's not happening. And yet, he encouraged us, that was his context, to honor our leaders. Now, remember I covered this towards the top, but our political leaders are actually indeed human beings created in God's image. Hard to believe, right? I mean, sometimes you're like, are you from another planet? I don't know. Let me be honoring, you know. Hard to believe, but they are human beings created in God's image, so we're still invited to treat them as such. And it's as difficult as that may be. So I want to pause for just a second because this is why I'm taking a little extra time on this point. I think it's like a real trouble area for us culturally and in the church as well in terms of contempt. I think this is where a lot of our contempt goes. Am I right? Am I wrong? I think so. But our political climate is so volatile and so difficult to navigate right now. You're like, what am I going to step into now? What am I going to say that's going to make somebody really mad? What am I going to say to somebody that's going to throw me under the bus and, you know, roast me or whatever? And here's the thing. Most of our political discourse happens in this like unembodied space that we call social media. Lord help us. Agreed? I mean, that's kind of where most of us are like learning this stuff. This is where most of us are having some discourse about it. And I understand that it makes it more difficult to realize, but our posts, the things that we post, the things that we like, the things that we share, they're actually still representatives of us. Do you know this? It's kind of like, just throw it out there. And maybe you don't realize this, but if you are a professing follower of Jesus, you also are representing Jesus with what you post and share and like. And that should probably just freak us out a little bit. At least a little bit, right? The verse from earlier, if you remember, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And I have a newsflash for all of us. We control the internet and social media accounts with what? Our bodies, don't we? So we use our bodies. We are embodied human beings to do the things that we do on the internet. So I'm going to do something, a little blasphemous maybe. I don't know. But I think it's true though. So I'm going to give a super modern 2026 retranslation of this verse. This is not thus saith the Lord. That I think is totally applicable and I think it's true. And it has to do with just our social media accounts. You ready? You're probably already up there. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Therefore, your social media account is not your own. It was bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your social media accounts. Because it is an extension of your body, and it is an extension of who you are, and even more, it's an extension of God. Because guess what? We are proclaiming and professing followers of Jesus, and that really matters what we put out there, right? We are representatives of Jesus in the world, and we're still representing Jesus behind a screen, no matter what we are doing, and we are still representing Jesus when we are talking about politics and political leaders. And I just think that there should be a difference in the way that we conduct ourselves as followers of Jesus in comparison to the rest of the world. Can I get an amen on that? There should be a difference. In her book, Bearing God's Name, this is Carmen Joy Imes. She's like this scholar, Old Testament scholar. And she writes this book, Bearing God's Name. If you get it, it's amazing. All of her books are awesome. Carmen Joy Imes impacts how to understand the commandment, do not take up the Lord's name in vain. Have you heard this? Don't take up the Lord's name in vain. And what she impacts is that like it's mostly misread. People don't quite understand what it actually means. And most people, most of us, maybe in the room, have assumed that it just means don't say swear words and Jesus or God at the same time, right? Like, don't say, you know, whatever the thing is. In that same phrase or sentence, I would say don't do that. Unwise, right? Not good. However, that's not what it's talking about. This is what she unpacks in this book. It's not what it's talking about. And what she says is to take the Lord's name, were to bear the Lord's name, it means to bear it, to like, you know, represent it, in vain, is to live in such a way that you misrepresent to the world what God is like. That is using the Lord's name in vain. You're saying, I am a representative of Jesus, and you're taking on his name. And to use the Lord's name in vain is actually to misrepresent to the world what God is like. In a recent conversation online I listened to with her, she said, I could call myself a Christian, but if nobody can tell the difference between the way I treat people and the way that my non-Christian neighbors treat people, we've got a problem, don't we? And I would agree. And maybe I'm a little naive, but I think it's possible, not easy, but I think it's possible for us to both be a prophetic witness and at the same time to honor our leaders. Or at the very least, attempt to keep from being contemptuous, to keep from having contempt or displaying contempt towards others. And I understand why we may do that, and honestly, I understand why we may and why we probably should, definitely should disagree with some of the policies and the tactics and the behaviors of some and many of our political leaders, right? I absolutely understand that. However, here's the comma, however. And I would say, yes, there's room for political discourse. We don't just receive our policy. Yeah, man, that's who they are, man. Rock and roll. I'm pro everything that they're about. I hope that we're a little more discerning than that, right? So understanding that we should and may disagree with policies, tactics, behaviors of some of our political leaders. However, we cannot sink to the level and the tactics of the world to speak as we speak about anyone with contempt, including our political leaders. Here's what I've seen. You probably have seen it too. And I'm not just picking on one side. I'm picking on all sides. All right, here we go. I have seen those who have called themselves Christians sinking to the level of name-calling, making fun of the deficiencies and even the disabilities of our political leaders, ranging from their memory to their weight and for their ability to speak. And that is tragic. That is so unfitting for the follower of Jesus. Our call as Jesus followers, no matter what our political persuasion is to stand in stark contrast to the way that we honor other people. Yes, even our political leaders. I talked about it a week ago in week one, but the world will know that we are his disciples by the way that we love. And when we disagree, yet still honor others we disagree with politically, we are showing them what Jesus is like. Is it okay to disagree with people? Yeah. Is it okay to identify that there are some messed up policies happening? 100%. Does that mean that we dishonor people? And does that mean that we hold people in contempt? According to Jesus, no. And that is hard. That is a tough teaching. A message that is full of contempt is emptied of its power. That's what I would say. Can we be different? Not for the sake of being different, because we are representatives of Jesus. Whew, I got through it, guys. Are we okay? We're all okay? Okay. And, you know, we'll have an opportunity to respond to the Lord. So there's something there that if it hits you or you're like, you know, what the heck? Or oh man, I've been there and I've done that. We'll have a chance to just get right with Jesus, you know, or let him change our minds, you know, sit with it more. But okay, so the next thing. We're called to honor our spiritual leaders. Guys, this one makes me feel really uncomfortable, so this is going to be a fast one. Okay, here we go. Philippians 2, 29 and 30. I think I put those verses back. We'll see. Do I have them? I do. Okay, cool. So then, welcome him, that is Epaphroditus, who's like a leader in the church there in Philippi, in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him. Because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourself could not give him. Guys, I'm not, you know, dying for you guys, but I did almost fall off the roof and almost die the other day. So there is that. Like, I am risking my life, guys. It was crazy. Very scary. I've been on roofs my whole life, and that was the closest I've ever been to dying. So, good times. 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders who direct the affairs of the church affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work in preaching and teaching. And all I see there is just double honor, baby. Let's go. So come on. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, guys. That's why I'm moving past it. I'm like, okay, I can unpack that, but we're not going to spend too much time. Here's what I will say, though. I love that I get to serve this community, that I get to live life with some of you guys, and I'm really grateful and honored that I get to know a lot of your stories, and I'm getting to know a lot of you better, and it feels like such a privilege to me. And I have a theory. I think that one of the best ways that you can honor your pastor and leaders is just to treat them like normal human beings, because we are. Just treat them like normal human beings. Hopefully this is comforting for you, but you don't have to be anything other than who you are with me or any of the pastors and leaders at our church. Just be yourself. The greatest gift that you can give to this church and to your leaders is your actual self, who is real and who is in the process of being formed into the image of Jesus. Y'all don't need to censor, all right? Be yourself. Be a normal person and treat your leaders like they are normal human beings as well. And here's the thing. I'm really committed to trying to do the same, you know? So if you're like, why are you being a weird leader guy? Just call me out, all right? Just, what are you doing? Here's the thing, guys. I'm not some special dude who's trying to figure it out any differently. I'm trying to live my life for Jesus just like you are. I'm trying to love and provide for my family just like you are, and do my very best to love my kids and love the people that God's put in front of me, all of the things, and to honor your leaders. So there's that. And I think another thing to honor your leaders is to not hold them to impossible, unachievable standards. So treating me like a normal human, yes. Because here's the thing. We can't do everything that we want to do. Everything that's not being done isn't something that we can do. And we can't provide everything. There's a survey that was done by a church leader guru, Tom Rainier. And he found that meeting the minimum expectations of church members would require that pastors work about 114 hours per week. Y'all, I mean, this is based on what people think a pastor should do. I'm going to work really hard. But I'm not willing to die for the church because Jesus already did that. So there you go. So honor your leaders. Honor your spiritual leaders. Next thing, we are called to honor those who lack honor. Honor those who lack or have lack or lack honor. 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 26, Paul's using this illustration of the body of Christ. He's using like body parts to talk about the church body and how we all need to work together for unity and so that we're all heading in the same direction, doing the things together. And he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker and are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while other presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division of the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Okay, what's happening here is just a reminder for us. We're supposed to remember to go out of our way to honor those who would normally not get honor, those who would normally lack honor. And the way... that way there isn't kind of like an honor group, an honored group, and a non-honored group, right? There's just us. You probably heard this, but the measure of a society is how they treat their most vulnerable. That is the measure of a society, and I would say that the same thing is true of a church. We want to be a community where everybody is honored. We want to be a community where everybody has a seat at the table, where anyone is welcome, and where everyone can belong and be shown honor. And I think the mistake that we often make as like church, like the Royal C Church, is that those who are in the more visible positions, who are talented, who are already being celebrated and getting the honor, like we just give it more like, oh, incredible person who leads worship and is getting lots of honor. Let's just honor them, you know? Oof, man. Those who do jobs that we see, we tend to like pile on the honor. And then those who we don't see, They just keep doing their thing with no recognition and no honor. Great job, pastor. Great message today. It's like, cool, man. What about the people who are doing the things that we don't really notice that we just take for granted? What about the people who are doing coffee on Sunday morning or bringing snacks, who clean the bathrooms, who vacuum, who's serving kids ministry? Like, that all happens and we just take it. Beatrice. Is Beatrice in here somewhere? Is she here today? Oh, man, of all days. Beatrice, for example. Guys, she cleans the bathrooms faithfully every week. And she mops and cleans the toilets for free. She just serves. Gary, I think he's sick, so he's not here today. I see the other half, though. He cleans, he vacuums the church, vacuums the floors, and gets the trashes every week, faithfully. He was on our counselor for a long time, too. Sherry, for years, brought treats in the morning. She's baking cookies and cobblers and all kinds of desserts and treats and things. And out of her own, she really wants me to brag on her, out of her own pocket, just doing it. Great. I don't know, I can't think of it. Apple fritter, I don't know. What's the dessert? Josh and Ariel and Jackson and Daphne and Angel, these are all people that are making it happen in the tech booth. You know, we notice when things are wrong, if something happens, you're like, what's going on in the sound booth there? They didn't turn the mic on, you know, but if it all goes well, we just enjoy it. We enjoy that there's sound. Ashley and Samantha and Marilyn and Rich, they're making coffee. We're just drinking that coffee. They come here really early to do that. We had our kids ministry workers, Marie and Daisy and Lindsay and Amy and Beatrice also doing that and Randy. And then we got our younger ones, like Karis, has helped out with kids ministry. And Charlotte and Finley are like begging to do kids ministry. Can I be in the kids ministry and help and serve with the kids? And then there's our Sheltering Silverton crews. I mean, I would just name the rest of the church. So all, you know who you are. You know, made up of about 25 of us in our church on Sunday night, every couple Sunday nights that serve and just serve the least of these. And I just want to say to all y'all who I just named and the rest of you too, thank you. Thank you for what you are giving. Like, I recognize that, and you are worthy of honor. We're so grateful for your choice to serve other people, and you're making a difference. So thank you. We are called to honor those who lack honor or don't have it or don't get it. So to answer the question, who do we honor? Because I named a bunch of them. Could have just said this and made it way shorter, but as disciples of Jesus, we honor everyone. We honor everyone. We honor the highest and we honor the lowest the same. My first pastor I ever had, Joe Whitwer, said it like this. We honor up, we honor down, we honor all around. Every direction is 360, you know. For most, even in culturally, we typically just honor up. Maybe side to side, almost never down. We honor up, we honor down, we honor all around. And that is countercultural. Every person that we meet is someone who Christ died for. And that is what we have to remember. He died to reconcile them to himself. And guess who he has chosen to show them the love and the honor in a tangible way? You and me, all of us. And we've had this verse a few times throughout the series, several times, but we keep coming back to it. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. What are we, God? We are Christ's what? Ambassadors. That means we are his representatives. We're doing it on behalf of Jesus. What does it mean for us, for our conduct? It means that we act towards others as Christ would. That's what we do. We represent not just ourselves as we walk about the world and we are on the internet and all the places that we go. We actually represent Jesus. So what we do and how we treat people really matters. What was Jesus willing to give to see people reconciled to him again? Everything. His life. Like the most costly thing. And he is inviting us to go a fraction of the difference, and that is to just give honor. Give honor. The invitation this morning is for us to experiencing flourishing in this simple way, and the way is just to honor everyone. Is it easy? Nope, it's not easy to honor everyone. It's really, really hard at times. Is it possible, though? I think it's absolutely possible. Even if right now it seems impossible for you, I have the belief that there is nothing that Jesus has asked us to do that we cannot do. What's also true is there's nothing that we can do without the help of Jesus. So it's both and. We can do what he's asked us to do, but we're going to need the help of his Holy Spirit. We're going to need his help to transform us into people of love. Jesus wants to shape you and I into the kind of people that would not just feel like you have to honor other people, but he wants us to be transformed into the kind of person who is capable of honoring somebody from the inside of who we actually are. He doesn't want your outside behavior only. He wants to transform you where you go, man, I'm going to show honor to that person because that's who I am on the inside. That it wouldn't flow from your effort only. So the question is, will you trust Jesus with this morning? Will you take him at his word that there really is a way to have life and life to the full, and that is through honoring people. We have this whole culture that tells us the opposite, and we're swimming in it, and it's just almost inescapable. But will we choose to be people of honor in a culture of contempt? So a little application for us, a few points to reflect, and then we'll do a little reflection time, a little response time, just sitting before the Lord and like waiting and listening. So buckle up. We got a couple more minutes here. So some application points for putting honor into practice. I didn't really know how to phrase this, but I just said honor by omission first. Like practice not dishonoring, being dishonoring to others. For some of us, we've had a constant flow of contempt that just needs to be shut off like a valve, right? So we just stop. Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Good way to not fall into the sin of having contempt for other people with our words, just don't say words. And, I think that's wise. James 3:9-10. For with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth, comes praise and cursing, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. So some advice, because I think the place where we dishonor people maybe is less to them and it's more about them. Maybe. I think there's a name for that. It's like gossip. Have you heard of gossip before? So here's my advice. When we hold on to words rather than spewing them out to whatever ear will listen to us, this is actually a really good tool for causing us to pray. It's an interesting thing. When you share something that you're mad about or frustrated about, or you're mad at the person, you've got this contempt towards them, and you go to this person, you're like, blah, 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 blah. Oh. Such a great tool for feeling relief and then forgetting about that, right? You hold on to it, though. It's like a pebble in your shoe. And what I want you to do is I want you to hang on to it, and I want you to let the pebble that is in your shoe be your alarm clock reminder to pray for your enemy. Pray for the person that you have contempt with, right? What does Jesus say? He's like, hey, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. So let's take both of those commitment serious. Don't hold people in contempt. And then you can take it one step further by simply not saying things and hanging on to it and then beginning to pray for enemies. Number one. That was number one. Number two, and if Maura, you want to come up, have you play. Actively use your words to honor and build up someone who is overlooked. Most people have been dishonored with words or are lacking the encouragement that they really need. I think we are like a encouragement hungry or thirsty or like deprived place, Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. So seek out people that you can honor and build up. Number three, seek to repair relationships that have been damaged by contempt. Seek to repair relationships that have been damaged by contempt. Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So it's like, if you've got this like I can't be a normal person around them. I can't be around them. There's a good chance. I can't even. There's a good chance that you are not at peace with that person. So that's a good indicator, right? Does it give you a stomachache to think, if I have to share space with that human being? Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and then remember, remember that your brother or sister has something against you. So it's the other way. Leave your gift there at the front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. So the invitation of Jesus here, again, is to recognize, oh, I've got something between me and that person. And maybe it's a result of my contempt towards them or their contempt towards me. The invitation is that there might be healing. There might be reconciliation. You know, for some, just to know, conciliation might be the only thing. You may repair, be at peace, but then not have relationship that you're engaging with, and that's actually okay. Maybe not ideal, but it's actually okay. But if you can, if possible, reconcile, be reconciled. Okay, so what I'd like to do now is just, I just want to take some time just maybe to do some heart work with the Lord. Does that sound okay? And just spend some time sitting in his presence for just a bit to reflect and respond. So here's what I'd love you to do. If you would or you're willing, just to close your eyes. I think it's helpful for us to get everything else kind of shut out, and we can get these questions before our mind and imagination and before the Lord. And then maybe if you're willing also, just putting your hands out, just in a posture of receiving, that you might receive from God and hear his voice in this next little bit. But a few questions just to ponder. And then we'll just take a little time to sit between, you know, sit after each one and just try to listen to what the Lord might say to us, okay? So the first question is, man, is there somebody who you have contempt for right now? Is there somebody who you have contempt for right now? We're just gonna sit for a minute and just see who the Lord brings to your mind. So let's do that, just in the quiet for like a minute or two. Is there somebody that you have contempt for right now? We're just going to ask the Lord what he wants us to do about that. Maybe it's repent, or maybe it's choose to serve them. Maybe it's to encourage them. Maybe it's to go against that instinct to continue to be in a place of contempt with them. So let's just take a minute just to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do about that? Continue to wrestle with that with the Lord if you feel like you need to. Two is there someone in your life who needs to know that they are deeply valued? Is there somebody in your life who needs to know that they are deeply valued, who needs honor? Just take a minute, we'll sit before the Lord and just see if there's a person or some persons that he might want us to do, that he might want us to honor. And maybe with that too, let's ask the Lord what he wants us to do about it. Is it a call? Is it a visit? Is it swinging by their house? Is it writing a card? Is it sending a text or an email? So Lord, what do you want us to do about it as we think about these people who might need our honor, who are lacking honor? Thank you. And then the third thing is I just want to take the moment to invite you just to say yes to Jesus in whatever way that is for you this morning. So for some of you, that might be, I'm saying yes to Jesus for the first time, and I want to have him be my Lord and my Savior and the King of my life. So that's you. I'd love it if you just would raise your hand and let me know that you want to make Jesus your Savior. You want to trust him with your life. Maybe you've been on the fence. And then the other way is just, man, really just to say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you with this idea of honor contempt. And I want to be better and I want to be different than I am right now. And so I guess in your own heart, you have just decide that. Jesus, help me to be different. Jesus talks about, you know, when he's preaching the gospel for the first time, he says, repent and believe the good news. And repenting and believing the good news is just saying, man, I'm done living my way and I'm ready to turn around and I'm ready to live your way. And then the good news is that Jesus is King. That you no longer have to be the Lord of your own life, but you can let Jesus do that. So whatever it is that you need to hand over to Jesus to let him manage, you no longer have to be the manager of it. You can let him do that because he knows every hair on your head. He knows every relationship and he has a better way than us. His ways are higher than our ways. So Jesus, we just turn to you this morning. Whatever old ways that we're hanging on to, I pray that we begin to just hand those over to you. Or that we would be able to give our contempt to you, our anger towards other people. That we would cast our cares upon you because we know that you care and you know what we need, even before we ask. So would you meet us in that? Would you help us? Would you meet us in repairing our relationships? Would you meet us in going out of our comfort zone to honor people that maybe we see just need it and need help and need a leg up, need encouragement? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word and what you're doing in us. And we just love you and we submit to you and we ask that you would change us from the inside out into people of honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, just so y'all know, if you need prayer or want to even share with somebody, man, here's what I'm going through. And we've got a prayer team of people who will be up here on the sides, Ardell and Jeannie and maybe a couple other, and our pastor's available if you want that as well too. If you maybe even made a decision to follow Jesus this morning, like you can tell one of us, tell a friend that you came with, fill out a contact card that says, I decided to follow Jesus. And we want to help you and resource you and help you be able to navigate that and do that. So, okay, so before we go, you can go ahead and stand with me. Just a benediction, just a blessing over you guys before we go. Jesus, may our presence with others make them feel that they are loved and valued. May we be a people who are willing to go against the norms of culture to embrace your way. And may we be a church that embodies honor in a way that is noticeable to a world around us. And may your kingdom come and your will be done in Silverton as it is in heaven. And all God's people said, amen.